The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 15, 1993 in Stockholm, Sweden.
That in the land of Nadia, which is the pastime place of Lord Chaitanya, around Navadvipa, in the place called Godrum, is the second island of Navadvipa. Himantadip Godrumdip is the island of chanting, Sravanam Kirtanam. Nityananda Mahajan, Nityananda, as the Mahajan, Mahajan, you know the 12 Mahajans in the great soul. And this sense of the Mahajan also means the main distributor. Patiyasin Mahavata Jivera Karyan. In other words, like you have the manufacturer of something or the main distributor who's like, everyone has to get from him, he's the one who sells all the goods. This also in the local lingua, they call that the Mahajan. So it's like a dual meaning. In the social term, Mahajan means the top distributor. In the spiritual term, it means the distributor, not in the sense like a book distributor, distributor in the sense of the, like some sole distributor of a particular commodity. I don't know what they call it. The big capitalist.
Yeah, the franchise.
The franchise. But he's the one who gives the franchise. Like here they got some American companies like McDermott or something like that. So Nityananda, he set up his office at Godro, and he's the Mahajan, he's the one who's holding all the franchises, he's holding all the goods. So he establishes the Namhat, the market of the holy name. Why? Jivir Karo. Why did he send down this preaching of the marketplace of the holy name? To deliver the fallen souls. It's for us. Now Mahatma is for us, we can go to the market and we can get our necessities of spiritual life. Otherwise there was no market before, it was anarchy. Spiritual vacuum. But he has set up the market so the jivas, the conditioned souls, can go and get the mercy from the Lord. Sadhavan Jana He, Sadhavan Jana. All faithful people, come on. Come all you faithful people. Prabhur Agyai Bhai, on the order of the Lord, Chaitanya, my brother, Mahi A Tika, I am begging from you this all, this gift. Bolo Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Bhajo Krishna, worship Lord Krishna. Koro Krishna Shikha. Study the transcendental books of Lord Krishna. Aparat Sutra Maye Loha Krishna Naam. Chant the holy names of Krishna, free from offenses. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanupran. Accept Krishna as your mother, as your father, as your life and soul, as your treasure in life. Krishna sansar koro, chari anachar. Make a Krishna conscious, Krishna centered family. Give up anachar, all forbidden activities, all things against the regular principle. Jive Dvaya, have mercy on the conditioned soul. Krishna Nama. Preach the glory to the holy name. Sarva Dharma Sarva. This is the essence of all religion. Very simple. Very to the point. This is a format that Bhaktivinoda Thakur did his Naha teaching. And these sutras, each one of these you can expand unlimitedly. And these sutras, he would go and he would chant Hare Krishna. He would chant this Namahatra. So bhajan, this kirtan. Invite everyone. This was the sutra. Chant Hare Krishna. Read the teachings of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Engage in the Sankirtan movement. Give up offenses to the Holy Name. Just chant without offenses. All the essential things are there. Very simplified. This is what the Namahatra movement is, simplified, bringing the essence to everyone, all over the world. So, you saw that video? Sorry, it was our first production, and we just had some very basic footage of a seminar in Mayapur, which was just the camera was there, it wasn't being moved properly and focused. Just to give some highlights about some of the thoughts that different people had and different ideas and what the previous acharyas wanted. You can understand that in our overall strategy of preaching, how everything fits in. Prabhupada said, whether you're a pujari, you're a cook, whatever you're doing, you know, someone may be a translator or someone may be a book distributor, but everyone is a preacher because we're all having the same broad vision of how Krishna consciousness is spread. And everyone is playing their part in that effort of spreading Krishna consciousness. So, part of the vision of Krishna consciousness is we could say like Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he was saying develop the holy dham, sunavada parikram, develop the holy dham, I want you to publish transcendental literature, distribute it, and then preach Namahat so that everybody can serve. So it's like a 1, 2, 3. You publish the book, you distribute the book, and then what do? It doesn't end there. It's not like you just distribute the book and that's it. You convince the people to practice what's in the book. And you organize and cultivate them so that they remain faithful. Shrad Pawan Jamahit. Because when you read the book, what happens? You get faith. This is the purpose of life. One of the book distributors came up to me and asked me in Calcutta, what should I do? What should I say? Well, I said, what do you mean? Well, today a man came up and he purchased one of our Mahabhi books. Or maybe it was a medium, but anyway, he purchased one of our books. And then he sat down the whole day in a nearby seat and he read the book. He read and he practically almost finished the book. And he came to me and said, I'm convinced. I am convinced. Your book, this is the absolute truth. I want to join your movement. What can I do? I said, alright, come in. Move in our temple. Become a missionary. Become a preacher. You know, move right into the temple. I said, alright, I'm working here in the railway for 27 years. I have 3 years before my pension. I have got presently 6 daughters. 3 sons, I have an old grandmother, and I have got 10 acres of land, about 5 acres of land, with 4 or 5 cows. Now, I'm ready to bring everything, and I believe, if this is what you advise me, I'll bring everyone and come to your temple and give up my pension. Wait a second. Alright. I had to talk to my temple president first. Was there anything else I can do? Alright, you can become a life member. Now, how much is it? Well, it's 5,555 rupees or 7,000, whatever that kind of 5,000. 5,000. Well, I only make 2,500 a month, but I'll save up for a couple of months and, you know, it'll take me a while. I can, okay. And anything else I can do? Would you like to buy some more books? Sure, you know, I never heard of Moynihan. But okay, well, I want to do more now. I believe your philosophy. You convinced me. Now tell me, what can I do?
To put this generator in, what is he going to tell him? You know, what to do now? Okay, come back and see me tomorrow. They came to me. What do I tell him? So here we're in a situation where people were convinced. They want to practice. And like Prabhupada said, well, we don't, it doesn't mean that we have to have, that we expect, or that we need to have hundreds and thousands of people in every center. So we want to train people how to practice in their home. And as you start preaching, you find that there's so many people, elderly people, mature people, or just some people, maybe the students want to finish their university career or something. People are not ready yet to just move into a temple and to be missionaries or whatever, full-time preachers. So, what is our program for them? So, therefore, we were discussing with Srila Prabhupada, and he gave us these ideas that we have to train people to practice in their home. In fact, in one place he said, we don't want people just to move in prematurely because sometimes they don't follow, they get disheartened, and they leave. Then after that, they don't feel encouraged to join later. If you bring someone in, he's not ready, and he fails, he gets fried out, he's not, ready, mature enough to stay in the temple. If he leaves later on, when it will be much more difficult for him to have the confidence to move in a temple. There's letters and everything that the Prabhupada explains all these things. So what we're trying to do in the congregational preaching, congregational development or Namhatta program around the world is provide a program where all the people who do not live in our temples can fit in. That it should be under ISKCON sponsored, ISKCON approved, ISKCON coordinated, cultivated, organized program so that people can practice Krishna consciousness and they can help. Now you all know that last December Mayapur had the good fortune of distributing quite a few books. 38,000 Mahabig and 400,000 magazines and small and other medium and everything. So how was that possible? In India at that time there was a riot going on. There was literally a riot because of the problem between Hindus and Muslims and Ram's birthplace. Shrine was torn down and so on. So our book distributors could not go out in the vans because the vans were being thrown stoned by the Muslims, and some Sankirtan leader got pulled out and punched and everything. So everyone was like afraid to go out in the vans because it was like too obvious. Just took one person to take a rock and smash in your window and create a whole riotous situation. So our book distributors were not able to really move out at full speed. So what the congregational members, they however didn't have this problem because they're going door to door amongst their friends. Some were taking 100, some were taking 150 books, some were taking 15, 20, whatever their capacity, and they were distributing it to their business colleagues, to their fellow workers, to their relatives. Some people were giving to another relative. Said, look, you have to distribute these 5 books. No, I don't have any money now. That's all right. You give me the money next week when you get your paycheck. A book distributor on the street, he can't give someone 5 books, say, come back and see me a week from now, bring me the money. Because you may never see the person again. Where's the guarantee? But a congregational member, if he gives his brother or his cousin, he's responsible to the temple devotee, gave him the book, then he'll get the money, or he'll give the books back. So this way, you have a whole network of book distributors also in the congregational members, over several hundred, I think almost 1,000 congregational members were distributing books. I don't have the exact number. How many were doing it? Maybe 200 seriously. And so they, in total, of the 38,000 Mahabhik books, they did 22,000. And even the books that I distributed was also done through congregational, with the help of congregational members. I went out to different industrial material. So it was very classic as a 200,000 small book. And in London, okay, maybe say, well, that's India, okay, but in London they did quite good last year in the marathon, and they also very vigorously called up congregational members on the phone, and they booked orders over the phone, the Indian program. And even in America, which is not doing that great, but some of the temples that did anything also had a lot of help from congregational members. They would go to a member and tell them to take a whole box of books and distribute them as a part of their Christmas problem, a marathon gift for Krishna. So the scope of not only in just having, okay, we have a big congregation, but they also, at least sometimes, they also help in the preaching. In South Africa, there's a competition every marathon between the Namhat devotees and the temple devotees. And Raghubir, he told us that in 5 years, only the last year the temple devotees could distribute as many books as the Namhat. That the previous 4 years the Namhat distributed more. So this year there's going to be a very heavy competition. They have 30 Namhatas all around the South African Durban temple. And all of them, you have maybe 50 book distributors versus groups of 20 each. It's like how many? Hundreds. But they do a little each, but it adds up to a lot in total. So whether book distribution or arranging cultural programs or reaching people who are otherwise difficult to reach, preaching to other family members, the scope is unlimited. The Mormons is the fastest growing Christian religion in the world, and they have something like 20,000 equivalent of what they call spikes, which is their equivalent of Namhata groups. First they call the spike or the stake or something, they go and they put a flag somewhere and say, this is where we're going to, you know, we start our community here, and they start their meetings, and from there it gradually builds up into a temple. It's interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said you should go with the holy name, with a flag of the holy name, and you take it and you just insert and say, okay, this now, this place is for Krishna, and you preach in there, and that village. He said to the preacher, you should go with a flag in their hand. Anyway, maybe it's a question. But the idea is there, you're going and staking claim in a particular place, you have some friends, you have some people, you have Sachinanda Maharaj is nicely explaining how in Kiev and Cologne, different places, from Namhata preaching, gradually temples have evolved. Also Berlin. And the scope is actually unlimited. We know, like in the Varnashram concept, the brahmanas are the head. You can picture here, we're just giving a picture here, one big head, like Rahu, cut off, is the head, no body. Does that make a lot of sense? Prabhupada said the ISKCON temples are supposed to be the brahmanas of the society. What is the meaning of being a brahmana if there's no rest of your head with no body? The rest of the body is the congregation. So we want the head with body. So the way that we have so many books being distributed now, all the people that get the books, if they start practicing in their house, and they start accepting Prabhupada's teachings, and they go and they'll buy more books, they'll chant Hare Krishna, they'll set up altars in their house, they'll get the deity worship book and do worship of the deities in their home. Instead of 2,000 deity worship books, you'll need a million. Maybe the most popular book. Every house has to do deity worship. That's a simple title. So, this is the idea, as we want to know, Prabhupada had to establish the temple where the heads are situated, but now he said, now I built a frame, you have to fill in the body, you have to fill in the structure. The structure, you have to fill in the rest. So the skeleton is there, now we have to fill in the body, fill in all the rest of it. So that's what the development of the congregation is about, trying to utilize all the favorable people that come to us and engage them in Krishna service, cultivate them. So this is really authorized. We know you're doing, most of you here are doing BBT related service. So just to inform you that this is like part of our worldwide strategy that ISKCON has adopted, is to also see that the congregation is developed, that they're preached to, and that they're engaged in Krishna service. So, with these few words, I'll open up for discussion and questions. I guess this is our first introductory video on the topic, but we hope in the future that we'll come up with more professional productions, but at least we could humbly present to the Vaishnavas this idea of trying to get some quads out into the air. Any questions? Comments? Maharaj, you've been doing a lot of congregational preaching in Eastern Europe, visiting now after
the non-Hatis in Bengal will take around on procession. Can you explain a little what that plan is?
Oh no, you see what we've done is we've constructed a special ratham, like a very nice, like the Padayatra cart, something like that with the fiberglass dome. What we're doing is it has a full-size Murti of Srila Prabhupada, which was donated, I believe, by Matsya Avatar and Prabhu from Italy. And they're taking that 256 towns in Bengal is divided in 256 administrative blocks. And about 7 or 8 blocks equals one district. And there's 16 districts in the state. Something like that. And there may be more blocks and some districts are bigger and some are smaller. But the total is 256. So for Bhakti Purushottam Swami, he inaugurated this program in Bharata after the Gaurapurnima festival. And we took Prabhupada on the procession, like a Ratha Yatra, pulling the car and people chanting Kirtan in front. 5,000 participated in the procession, going for 3 hours throughout the town of Bharata, which is outside of Calcutta. I mean, coming to Mayapur from Calcutta is the first city. It's the district headquarters, and it has a population of maybe 200,000 people or more. Just a figure of 200,000 would be very big in Sweden, probably, but in India, it's in Bengal, it's medium. But anyway, it's still a lot of people. So you can imagine 2.5% of the people are. Were actually in the procession, and a lot more people saw the procession. Everyone was involved, everyone knew about it, and they came out on the streets and watched the procession go by, so maybe half of the whole town, 100,000 people might have witnessed the procession going through. And then there was a big pandal program with lectures about Prabhupada, distinguished the mayor and other people came and it went on for 2 days like that. Bhakti Chu Swami came also and gave a lecture. I gave a lecture. There was other ISKCON, senior Vaishnavas who came from different parts of the world who were participating in that program. So now they're doing this in every, as part of the centennial preparation. Now all these festivals are organized by the local Namhatis. They're organized by the Namhata group. They arrange everything. They find all the fields, they get the permission from the local authorities, they see the police. They personally collect money from the public and finance building a tent there, a pandal, and a stage. And we give them posters, which are pre-published, and then they post the posters everywhere around the city. And so they're doing that in something like 60 places this winter. Again, in the year they'll do like 100 each year almost, completing all the entire state by 1996. So the idea that we want everywhere to know Prabhupada. And they give a picture of Prabhupada to the senior organizers and to the competitions. There are 10,000 children in the schools. We're taking a test. They give out a six-page pamphlet of Prabhupada's life to the students, and then they give them, they let them study and take a competition, they take a test, whether they, and whoever gets, then they give the pictures and things and books to the winning students, and then they go to the finals for some other special gift, maybe a trip to Ambik or to Ocean Forest to Prabhupada's temple. We'll take them to our world headquarters. So there's many other details. It's a massive program, and it's combined between book distributors, the college and the school preachers, the centennial festival team, and the Namhat. They're all coordinating together to make this a success. Of course, in the month of December, everybody is busy with book distribution. It goes on November and then January and February. December is marathon. Now marathon fever is taking a list. In December, they probably won't be able to do those processions. Unless they can figure out a way of doing them and not reduce the book distribution. So that, but it's not that every, there's many murtis of Prabhupada. There's one murti that's in many places, but there are many photos that are given to the members. We're subsidizing and mass-produced DVD photos of Prabhupada and selling them for like 25 paisa, which is just like 1 cent. So everybody, we want everyone to have a Prabhupada framed in their house. We're not giving them the frame, but giving them the photo at a cheap price than they.
It seems a lot easier to engage people non-Hatha in, you know, places like Bengal in India than in the West. Maybe you could come.
You see, there's advantages and disadvantages everywhere. And then nowhere it's like totally easy. There's plenty of obstacles in Bengal, whether it's riots or some kind of communist. So we have also, you know, in Bengal, we have a communist government. This communist government, can you believe it? After everything happened in the world, the communist leaders are still glorifying Stalin. That is how off they are. What can you say about them? In this day and age, not that they're glorifying Lenin, they're glorifying Stalin. So, still, before the election, they are going and sneaking in the temple and praying for getting a blessing to win the election. So we made friends with the communists, and we made friends with everybody as much as we can. But they're hard to make friends with. Their official stand is that religion is opium of the people, so how can they make, they as much as we can, we are trying to be friendly with them, but they're not, they're still very fanatic from the old school. So we have to deal within that society and facing different kinds of difficulties. So in the beginning, they were preaching also against the Hare Krishna movement, saying that it's all funded by the CIA. The American government is funding the Sankirtan movement in Bengal. Can you believe it? People believe it. So, I mean, America got credit, they don't deserve it. But what happened is that because of the preaching of the devotees, sometime in the beginning the communists were saying, don't follow them, just like all these things, and the people got up and walked away from the meeting. They said, where are you going? We will not hear Vaishnava Purana. We cannot hear this Vaishnava Purana. So now, since we're apolitical, we're not preaching this or that party. So, now the communists, they also don't speak against us because they're losing votes. So we're just, you know, disappointing. And, so there are always these difficulties, but the advantage is that many people believe in Krishna. The disadvantage is that they believe in Krishna sentimentally, but they don't have any standard of, understanding of what the principles are. We have to preach to, we get many people to follow superficially and join the kirtan, but few people to practice rules and regulations and be vegetarian. That, relatively speaking, it's taken us since 1978 the 15 years to build up a core of a couple thousand of people who are chanting and following all the principles. And we have tens of thousands who are chanting. But it started off very slowly. And we have a lot of, you know, Naha preaching is a very long-term program. So what we find in some other places is that we convince someone who doesn't know anything about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If they're convinced, sometimes it's easier for them to follow everything. They don't have so many other speculations that you have to preach against. To preach in Bengal, you have to know not only Krishna conscious philosophy, you have to know so many philosophies. You have to know Ramakrishna, you have to know all, everyone what they're saying and know how to counteract each of the bogus philosophies. But here in the West, it's kind of just Maya. There's not so much philosophy in life. So, in that sense, there's some advantages. But obviously here we go. Therefore we focus that since in Bengal we have many followers of Lord Chaitanya, we should do it in a mass way. We should do it in a very big way. Otherwise, what is the use? So much seeds of devotion were planted by Nityananda Prabhu. So we should organize in a mass way. And then we're systematically trying to train them up and get them to follow the rules and regulations. Now in the West, obviously you can't just suddenly start up in a very massive way. But you have to just gradually develop the people who are interested in Krishna consciousness, and gradually it grows. So the advantage is like very few now, Namaha centers in Bengal are becoming big temples like in Cologne. So here you may get a Namaha center and the people may decide that, okay, we want to be a whole temple, we just want to give more time and just preach all the time. Where that won't happen so much in Bengal because there are so many family responsibilities and it's a different environment. So, as I said, every place has its pros and its cons. It's advantages and disadvantages. So what we want to do is take whatever opportunities Krishna gives and then try to utilize them. So we shouldn't think that, well, we're here in a difficult place. Or we should see what are the opportunities Krishna is giving us and how can we utilize this. Just like here, there's a straight edge scene in Sweden, according to the shelter group, is the best in the whole of Europe that they met, and once in northern Sweden. And whole Sweden is a very good scene. So there's so many of this straight edge youth here that could be cultivated and brought closer to Krishna consciousness. It's a whole type of congregation of preaching to the youth. Then you have, of course, so many people here are in the greens, ecological vegetarians, so many people going to the restaurant, to make them feel that they belong, that they can also be a member of the Krishna church or the Krishna temple. And to, this right now, and there's another interview after this one. I don't know if you want to see it or not. It happens to be on the same tape. It's an interview by one Danish devotee, Ananta Sridas, who's a coordinator for preaching in South America, in Lima, Peru, and the temple president of Lima, Peru. And they discuss how they're engaging the people in Peru. And they have 150 people coming to the temple chanting rounds and doing volunteer service. And many more people who are more loosely connected. 150 are like fired up. They get 20, 30 people to stay over Saturday night or come over on early Saturday morning and do a morning program from 7 until 11. Training them up in Tulsi Puja and Prabhupada Puja and so on, so many different things. So everywhere, we just have to see what are the opportunities that Krishna is giving us and how we can utilize them. And although some places may be a little easier, but also like Prabhupada said, some places may come a little harder, but you may get a more sweet fruit at the end. we're preaching in a, the idea is we're preaching in a place, we have to see the total preaching. It's just like from the book to the bhakta, the whole, the entire thing. So in between there's a need that we get people who believe in our philosophy, who are convinced by the books, to train them up and cultivate them. If we don't do that, then we're going to be missing much of the harvest. It's like you plant an apple tree, and then you wait, and then when the apples are ripe, you just sit under the tree and wait for those apples that fall into your lap, and you eat those. The ones that kind of fall or blow away, or you just want the ones that kind of fall within your reach. Obviously, no one will do that. You systematically think how to pick every apple at the right time and pack it and so on. So many devotees are there that need to be engaged in Krishna's service. And we have to see how each person can be engaged up to their capacity. Those who are able to fully engage in a temple, let them engage like that. Those who are not able to do that for some real practical reason, that doesn't mean we reject them. We also consider them devotees. But that's what I wanted to say. In Lima, Peru, so they changed their program from Friend of Krishna to the ISKCON League of Devotees. Because they want to make those members feel not like friends, but like devotees. To bring them closer to the movement. Yes?
Of course, don't you have Bhagavad Sarsha?
Yes?
And could you speak about that, the role of that magazine, and also maybe how Bhaktivedanta or a local national magazine would fit into that?
We have both Back to Godhead Plus, ISKCON World Review, and Bengali. We call the ISKCON World Review the Sankirtan Samachar, which means the Sankirtan news. And it tells about the Sankirtan movement all over the world. And it has a page there especially dedicated for congregational teaching. That comes out every fortnight, every 2 weeks. And the Back to Godhead, Bhagavad Darshan comes out every month. The Bhagavad Darshan is much more philosophical, and the other one is much more practical and inspirational. So people are so attached to getting their magazine and their newspaper that if somehow it doesn't get off on time or someone misses up, you get all kinds of complaint letters. People coming, they're really waiting for them. There's a very good program for cultivating them. Very, very good program. That they need to get association. That association, when you have, see, this is one of the problems we face, is when you have so many people, how do you get association to 1,000 groups? Where are the devotees? You know, we've gradually built up to a team of 46 devotees in the congregational preaching. Because we made it financially separate from other temples. Because a little temple will give so much manpower to such a program. That's just the fact of life. They would have other priorities. So, but through the Namhat, many temples are getting a lot of devotees. There are only a few people who are actually are kept in the Namhat preaching groups. But even 46 people, two people have to go on the team. You can't send one person alone. It's too difficult to be alone and preaching people's homes. Brahmacharis going to grihastha houses. It's safer to always go with two. That means the maximum, you have four or five people in the office all the time. And a couple, so you'll have about 20 or 18 teams. That means 16 districts. Maximum you have one team per district. And each district has 2 to 5 billion people. Nothing at all, actually. So the people, they need the association through these festivals. They need the regular association through the books. Bhagavad Darshan, Back to God in Bengali, and the Sankirtan Samachar, the Sankirtan News. These are like the lifeline that really keeps the everybody in touch with what's going on in the Sankirtan movement. Very important. There's no phones there in the villages. There's no no call. So how else can communicate? Yeah.
So one type is motivational communication, or the nice thing, and the other type is plan establishment of the Parmesan system, and the congregation will play a big role in that.
I see that the point is that what is the Varnashram? Who's going to be Varnashram? You have to be devotee of Krishna for Daiva Varnashram. The Daiva is in the beginning. The Daiva means it's of the devotees. Before, the Varnashram is for uniting, for organizing the human society. So first you have to bring them up to the human level. Right? If people are exploring cows and they're shooting heroin and cocaine, and they're doing all kinds of, spending all their time on the golf course or something. Where's the question of human life in terms of Vedic civilization? They're not within the Varnashram of the night, Sudra or, lower than Sudra. So we, by the congregational program, we're actually bringing people up to the human platform, civilized human platform. And also the devotional platform. So then they can be organized, and you have the whole Varnashram community there. All the congregation will be there, just like in Limapur, they're coming and doing service. There also people are giving some money in different places around the world, in London and in Germany, wherever they have. So in this way they're doing that duties as sudras, like kshatriyas in some places. The Houston temple is being managed by the congregation, actually. Some Brahmana devotees are there who do the puja, but the actual management of the money and everything is done by the congregational members. I mean, they're the temple. And they're living in their home, but they're coming managing the temple. When they're holding a regular job outside. So, the Varnashram is happening, but it's all being done by devotees. And the distinction of very responsible devotees is very thin in terms of devotion, but in terms of karma and guna, there may be some difference. But in terms of their devotion, not always a lot of difference. So we see that developing a large, strong congregation is the key for having a Varnashram development. You don't want to just develop Varnashram with the 100 or 200, whatever devotees are in our temple. We want to see Varnashram in the thousands of people who are living around the temple, and then eventually to spread further into society. So as the Varnashram is basically the format for organizing our congregation. We can't install, unless we have a majority of the people, who are Hare Krishna, and we change the government system or something by democratic process. Until that happens, if we have a majority of people, maybe we can start to do some things and that would affect the minority. Until that happens, the only people we're going to be able to develop Varnashram with is those who believe in Varnashram, who believe in Krishna consciousness. And that's who? That's the devotees in the temple and the devotees in our congregation. Who else is there? You're going to go out to Mr. Schlaus and Mr. Johnson on the street and convince them to practice Varnashram. And someone gets our books, they believe the philosophy, we cultivate them, they consider themselves part of their congregation or part of the devotee in their home. And then you can organize them as part of the Varnashram program of Prabhupada in the society. So they feel that their duty is to serve a Srihasta, they should give donations. That's the duty of the Grihastha, the dana, if you believe. So you see, the practical, there may be other things, but the practical way of establishing Varnashram in the world is through this preaching, combined effort of devotees from the temple and the congregation. We have to come up with a very clear blueprint. And that everyone agrees that this is a very practical way of doing it. So far, what other idea? Any other question, Maharaji? Okay, we'll accept from this line.
In many places in CIS, like in Russia and the other places, we have like some
And but the problem is that they are too busy with their studies, and some of them that are getting close with the touch of this Western civilization, but some of them still have the Krishna. And it's how could you open them to Krishna? And those three systems, maybe we could also through them reach to the current and make the establishment.
The thing in India is people are religious, but they're religious to a certain point. Like the parents teach their children, do religion, but don't do too much religion. Right? No parent wants their son to become a sannyasi or to join a temple. They're frightened of that. No. So, everyone, all the Hindus are very proud to see the big temple and so many devotees. But if their own son or daughter wants to be a devotee, then they can become very, you know, generally the tendency is just like that. Only those who are very advanced Vaishnavas actually push their children to surrender. But the general people, they believe in, to various degrees, but they believe in Bhagavad Gita and everything, but in the practical, they always say do something, but not to go to too much. Wait till you get old. All the teaching you read in the Bhagavatam, it's all there in India. So, people that come to the West for study, most of them are coming with ideas that I'll get a good job or get money. Their idea is to get some kind of economic development. But, like any other type of teaching, what they need is association. To get it, so many of our nice devotees, senior devotees of Srila Prabhupada came from, they were foreign exchange students and joined in the West. Subhas Swami Maharaj, he was a student in England, and he joined there. I don't know, I think that's somebody in the Maidan, I'm not 100% sure, but Adidas Prabhu, president of Calcutta, he also joined in America. He was a student at the University of Florida. He was preached by devotees there, Abhiram Prabhu and others. So, and there's somebody like that. So, but you have to have a general program for all of them. And then you have to see who's more interested in. Not everybody is going to become like that, fully involved. You have to cultivate and see who's more interested. There's just like any, just because someone's a Roman Catholic doesn't mean they're all going to become priests. So you have to have programs. If you're too heavy for surrendering, then what happens, you alienate, and the others will preach to their friends, don't go with them because all they talk about is leaving your studies, leaving your family, etc. So you have to be kind of tactful. Encourage them in what they're doing, encourage them, we'll get them associated. If you see some are more interested, try to give them a little more association. Get them to organize some programs with the other students in the university, these types of things. I mean, that's a very big subject, how to engage students. I mean, there's Bhakti Raghunas and other preachers, they're just concentrating on that. And if you want more details about that, you could write to him. And he has developed this as a whole special department of youth preaching. But just as an Indian preacher, being at this, Indians, you have to be very friendly with them. They have to be very friendly, very personal, they're generally very personal people. And, to give them some nice association, prasadam and everything like that, you appreciate it. Many are maybe under really strong pressure from their parents to go to finish their studies, to get a good job, to send money to their home. Everyone's individual. When Subhas Swami joined, and he went in the back to India, his mother came and was crying like anything to Prabhupada, I wouldn't have come back. Prabhupada asked Subhas, so do you want to go with your mother? He said, no. I want you to stay with Srila Prabhupada. I can't force him to leave, I'm sorry. Mother was crying. Rolling in the ground. Terrible. See your mother rolling in the ground, I'm gonna die, you must come. Really hard. Mothers that they go, very sentimental. They love their children very much. Maybe other parts of it are not so bad, but the parents everywhere. So you have to build them up. Face a lot of family attachment. Every family is different. The advantage is they know about Krishna, but why they're here in the West? Because they have culture. Sometimes they get fried also. They get fried with the Western culture. It's usually that's when they're already married or older. They have to engage them in service. And then they feel they have them to help you with festivals and they get more enlightened. Last question?
There was a GBC resolution last year, I think you made the proposal that members of the congregation could be designated by different terms depending on things like what principles they follow and so on. And after that, some weeks later, I read some message from the GBC chairman that that resolution was kind of temporarily held. It should not be employed because of some technical point with some other resolution. I just wondered if that was resolved.
Yes, it's been resolved now. Now that resolution can be followed and be employed. Only thing is that the gurus can't employ it. That's the
gurus cannot employ it.
Should be applied or done by the temple president. Anyone who's not a guru. Because at the present time there's a moratorium on pre-initiation. The gurus somehow, apart from the guru ashray, somehow making a new devotee feel obligated